on this fourth Sunday before Christmas. We're going to look at the wise men. There's a lot of mystery around the wise men, the magi, the kings. They've been called many, many things. But we're not going to look at who they were or even their journey. I mean, we'll allude to it. But again, what we've been doing is to look at the child. These men traveled a great distance to find this child that I can't even say heard about, because we don't really know how they knew about the child. Our text is in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, and I have about 10 minutes, and I thought I would. So we're going to go through this and see what we can learn from this passage of Scripture about the child. Because we could go on for hours and hours and hours about the wise men and speculate who they were. And I've heard some really cool things about them. But we want to see the item that they were searching for. They were searching for this child. And we want to answer the question, what child is this? Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, in the days of Herod the king, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judea, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me, so that I too may come and worship him.' After hearing the king, they went their way. And the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way." Let's pray. Father, as we look through again a story that is so familiar to us, we hear it almost every Christmas, if not every Christmas. Lord, I pray that this morning you would unlock new and exciting things for us to learn from your word. Father, show us who this child is. Lord, we know we have a name that we put on him. Lord, how special this child was, that these men would take such a long time and travel so far just to worship him. Lord, speak to our hearts this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I was going to say, you know, this is probably one of the most mysterious parts of the Christmas story. But then I thought about it, and you go back to Mary, and she was a virgin, and she was giving birth to a son. That's pretty mysterious. And then you have a bunch of angels appearing in the, or an angel, then a bunch of angels appearing in the sky, inviting, of all things, the shepherds to come and to greet the child. And that's kind of mysterious at that. So I guess this is just kind of fitting in with the whole Christmas story. We look at this passage of Scripture, and, again, the Magi, we don't know exactly who they are or what they were or really what their title was. You know, in the song we sing, we call them kings. They probably were not kings. Magi or wise men is probably were scholars is what we were thinking. But, you know, something that just for you to kind of ponder that I've heard and... You know, we're trying to figure out, who were they? Why were they so interested in this king? How in the world did they know that if they saw a star in the sky that was special to them, that it would lead them to a king? How did they know all this stuff? Well, we don't know. There are some things. Now, I saw a great movie, and I'm going to say that it wasn't right. I mean, you know, I don't know. It's wonderful. The possibility that, this is so cool. The possibility that God, when he created the earth, set everything in motion in the solar system, that this star appeared then and only then, and did exactly what it needed to do to get the wise men to Bethlehem. That is cool. When you stop to think about our God designing that from the beginning, from the creation of the world. You know, so anyway, that's, if you haven't seen the Bethlehem Star movie, talk to the Browns. They have it, and for a fee, they'll loan it to you. And but if you give it back, they'll give you the money back. Right? It's just awesome. So I'm just kidding. We're going to go on to that. But the idea that possibly that these men were descendants of Daniel, who was exiled into Babylon, and the Bible never records that he returns to Israel. So could this be his family? Could this be his offspring, his grandchildren, who would have been taught what Daniel knew and would have been taught by Daniel, and we know how intelligent Daniel was. You know, just throwing that out there. But, you know, last Sunday when we talked about the shepherd, we said how cool it was that God invited these local shepherds to come in and visit them. But today we learned that the invitation to see Jesus Christ was not just a local thing to the shepherds that were in the area. These men lived hundreds of miles away in a foreign country. And somehow, we don't know how, but somehow they knew that there was a king of the Jews born in Bethlehem. So the first thing we learn is when we look at this, out of the first two verses of Matthew chapter 2, is that the news of his birth, and there should be an S on, but anyway, there isn't. Anyway, the news of his birth was widespread. It was widespread. Not only did the local people, the shepherds, hear about God's birth, but here in a foreign country, these people that maybe they were Jews of Jewish descent, maybe they weren't. We don't know. But anyway, they were notified that the child was born. And of course, they couldn't just hop on a plane and fly into Jerusalem International and go to Bethlehem. You know, it took a long time for them to get there. It may have taken from 9 months to a year and a half to get there, following this star I'm sure people thought, you are nuts. You know, well, they knew what they were going to find. They knew what they were going to find. So God didn't just call the local people, the shepherds, the children of Israel or the Jews. He called the world. And if we go to John 3:17, and I probably will skip around here a little bit, Mark, so I'm just kind of hunting peck. But it says, for God did not send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. See, Jesus Christ, this child, didn't just come for the Jews. It came for the world. To save the world from its sins. We learned that last week. Now, it's interesting because when they arrived at Herod's palace, and I'm sure this had to just absolutely shock Herod, when they said, excuse us, where is he who is king of the Jews? So already they were looking not for a child or a square, they were looking for the king of the Jews. Now, again, did the stars tell them all this? It's possible. Especially when the alignment of the stars is very possible. Is this something that was a oral history that was passed down from Daniel to them? We just simply don't know. But we do know that this child that they were searching was the king of the Jews, and that they were coming to worship him. Now that gives me credence to the fact that they were possibly Jews of some origin, because even if he was the king of the Jews, I'm not sure how many people would come to worship him. You know, we wouldn't, I mean, people just don't travel around to worship kings in those days. So, king of the Jews. King of the Jews. And if you go to Jeremiah 23:5-6, we read by the prophets, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. In his day, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is his name by which he will be called the Lord of Righteousness. So a prophecy in the Old Testament of a day when this would come and there would be a ruler come. Now maybe the wise men had the Old Testament. We don't know. Maybe they had the scriptures of the Jews. We don't know. But anyway, he was the king of the Jews. In fact, at the end of his life, in Matthew 27:11, we read, and now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor questioned him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus said to him, it is as you say. So he is the king of the Jews. So the news of his birth was spread far and wide. He was the king of the Jews, or he is the king of the Jews. And next we see that, again, this thing is mysterious, we've been alluding to it. He had his own star. If you look at what the wise men said, they said, we saw not a star. We saw the star. It says, we saw his star. So whatever it was, if it's something that was there all the time and just came into prominence at that time, or whether it was a special star that God placed there, or whether he moved stars around, you know, I'm not going to get into that. But whatever it was, they knew that it was his star. It was announcing his birth. Now, I don't think there was any stars that announced my birth. Don't think there was anything announced my birth. In fact, I think when I was born, it took weeks for my folks to announce that I was born. You know, I mean, it just didn't, you know. But here, this child has a star in the heaven that is proclaiming to the world, well, not everyone saw it, but it was proclaiming to the world that he was born. He had his own star. Again, mysterious. If we go back to Numbers 24:17 is the only place in the Old Testament that refers to a star. And it reads, I see him, but not now, and behold him, but not near. A star shall come forth from Jacob. A scepter shall rise from Israel and shall crush through the forehead of Moab and tear down all the sons of Seth. Now you look at that and you say, I have no idea what that's talking about. It's kind of gruesome in a way, but that is the only mention of a star that could be prophetic in the Old Testament. So is that what they were relying on? I don't know. I don't know. Like I said, there's a lot of mystery. But the thing is, there was a star that announced the birth of this child. And then in verse 4 of our passage scriptures, gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. Now, this was Herod, and he was very concerned because he has just heard there's a new king that was born. And like they said on the video, kings in those days did not worship babies, especially ones that were prominent. Kings in those days killed babies to make sure they didn't. In fact, Herod killed off some of his children to make sure that they wouldn't take the throne. He was not a nice man. But we look at this. This child, we now know, is to be the Messiah. Now, the Messiah was mentioned in the Old Testament in Daniel chapter 9, verse 25 and 26. It talks about the Messiah, the only place in the Old Testament that talks about the Messiah. But it talks about a Messiah who is coming. Now, the book of Daniel, the last part of it, is very prophetic about the things to come. And so we see this referring to, in fact, the children of Israel were looking for a Messiah to come. Well, here we see the chief priests and scribes saying that this child, looking at this child, is the Messiah, and that is going to be born in Bethlehem. Now, the scriptures bear this out in Matthew 1:1. It says, the recording of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then in John 4:25 and 26, we have Jesus again claiming this to be the truth. He's talking to the woman at the well. It says, the woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming. He who is called Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Again, Jesus is the Messiah. So this child not only is given the name of the Messiah, but he is the Messiah. But the thing, and I look at this thing, and the thing that jumped out at me at this passage of scripture that I hadn't seen before, but I love it now that I look at it, is in Matthew chapter 2, verse 26. And this is where they're proclaiming, they brought up the prophecy about where the Messiah was going to be born. And it says, and you, Bethlehem, land of Judea, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. This child, the king of the Jews, is going to be a ruler shepherd. Shepherd. Not just a ruler. There have been tons of rulers in the world, and there will still probably be tons of rulers in the world. But this one is a ruler who will shepherd his people. Now, the concept of shepherding is a unique concept. Jesus claims in his lifetime, in John 10:11, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. In John 10:14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. And then in 1 Peter 5:4, Peter writes, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Jesus Christ, this child that we have now named and we've placed and we've put him here, he is not only going to be a king, but he's going to be a shepherd. And you know what shepherds do? They take care of the flock. That is the main purpose of a shepherd, is to take care of the sheep, to protect them, to discipline them, yes, when needed, but to bind up their wounds, to just make sure that they don't get into harm's way. That is what a shepherd does, and that's what this child is going to be. Not just a king, but a shepherd. Someone who cares about his flock. Someone who cares about the people. Herod didn't care about anyone. Herod cared about Herod, and that was it. And Herod did whatever Herod could do to make sure that Herod was taken care of, and that was it. But not with this leader shepherd that is going to come. If we go back to John 10:11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And listen to what he says. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. This child that the wise men came to worship, this child who fulfills prophecy, this child is going to be the king of the Jews, and he's going to rule like no other ruler has ever ruled. He's going to rule as a shepherd who takes care of his sheep, who meets their needs. I'm going to refer you back. If you want to talk about shepherds, Psalms 23. Read that. If you want to know what shepherds do, read Psalms 23. That's what shepherds do. But the thing is, that's available to us. This child who was born in Bethlehem, who had his own star, who was king of the Jews, gave his life not just for Israel, but for the sins of the world, for you and me. He did that. That's why he came. He came to shepherd us. Now, he gave his life, so I say, well, now the shepherd is no more. No, the shepherd is, because he came back to life. He rose from the dead, and now he is with the Lord in heaven, and he has given to us his Holy Spirit, who lives in us, to lead us and to guide us and to help us. See, that's what we celebrate when we celebrate Christmas. Not just this, you know, we just have this warm, peppy little story about this baby who was born in a manger and he's laying in pristine hay. And of course we know the manger smells perfectly, probably of pine. Maybe a little bit of cinnamon thrown in. And we know that the cloths that he was wrapped in, you know, that they were probably top quality linen cloths that he was laying in, you know, and the shepherds probably all took a bath before they went to see him and put on their best, whatever they had to put on. No, that's not the Christmas story. The Christmas story is about this child who came to this world for one purpose, to shepherd his people, to shepherd you and I. Die, to give his life for us, that we might live, and to take care of us by giving to us his Holy Spirit. That's what we worship this Christmas. Let's pray. Father, what an amazing child this is. The Son of God, the fulfillment of prophecy, King of the Jews, the Savior of mankind. Father, this Christmas, may we just not glance over this special event, but may we truly realize what happened that very first Christmas, Jesus Christ came to this earth and what it means to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.